Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, synchronized swimming, tailgates before a college football game, late night karaoke, especially late night karaoke. There is nothing better than a duet of summer love, and I can assure you that. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, it's been quite a morning around here already. We've still got plenty of stuff to get into. Big payday for one of the Eagles wideouts that might be causing a little bit of friction elsewhere. The ultimate about face, potential heel turn brewing in the world of golf, which would, I mean, my brother in Christ, if Rory McIlroy to live has any sort of truth to the rumors here, this is going to be a weird week. But before we get to any of that, Dad is back. And a little peek behind the curtain here, the first hour of the show, we lost Dad almost immediately into it. And thank you to our friend Charlotte Wilder for being here to help us out and shepherd us through those trying times. But in the meantime, my dad has been fighting a war. We do senior versus the internet as a bit on this show. That has manifested itself into real life of my father versus the machines. He is a broken and defeated man who finally returns back to the casita now. Dad, how you doing over there, bud?
I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, I really don't. I don't know why it's so difficult. I don't know why the internet is so difficult. I don't. All I know is my internet is with Cox, and also the guys that set up my TVs out here, they're all coming over today between 1 and 3 o'clock. And let me just say, they will not be leaving. This could be a kidnapping situation. Ah! They will not leave the house until my internet is secure and running. So if I'm not on the show tomorrow, it's because I'm in jail, because I wouldn't let any of these guys go home, because that's what's going to happen today. I mean, I humped it over to the hotel next door. I was all set up there. And then my wife texted me and said, the internet's back. And I said, of course it is. Because that's how it works. After you go run somewhere, everything is fixed so you can run back. So, yeah, I've gotten an early morning workout. I'm ticked off because I don't understand all this crap. And I'm going to try not to take it out on the people coming over today, but they aren't leaving the house. So I hope they pack a lunch. I'll even feed them.
I was going to say, you're going to try not to take it out, but you will kidnap them. So, okay, got it.
Yes, exactly. Well,
yeah, I'm not going to Claudia- be... I'm not gonna be I won't be mean to them, Claudia.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, you guys get comfortable. I have a very comfortable house.
Okay.
Get comfortable because you're staying. Ah. You can call your family, tell them you'll be home when said job is done. Okay. I mean, I'm not holding for any kind. The ransom is good frigging internet. Mm-hmm. That's the ransom. If I don't get that, they stay here. If I get that, they go home to their loved ones safe and unharmed.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
This is a pattern with my dad. There are very few things that actually rock the boat with my dad. Like a simple man with simple needs, he loves a good bath, he needs his iPad so that he can watch all his shows, and all he asks, no matter which home he is in, is working cable television at places that he is paid for, and that extends to the internet. And the only times I see my dad lose his cool are when he loses the remote and blames it on somebody else, or when he gets to a place that he hasn't been in a while that he pays a mortgage at, and all of a sudden the cable or internet's not working because, again, you're paying for it, so it should be working there now. So he might get a little mean with them there. He can be mean. Dad on the phone with a person who works for a cable or internet company is a show that I hope everyone gets to see at some point in their life. And I'm sure a lot of people out there have dads that are the same way, where it starts off cordial, but then after a while can turn incredibly combative.
Well, it turns bad because it takes you forever. You have to answer these questions before you can get to a human. Yeah. And so by the time you get to a human, you're in a ticked off mood. And am I wrong? People, am I wrong? Okay? My house out here, I pay monthly for TV, internet, and cable. And when I used to come out here, when I had the other TV people, which I no longer use, I would come out here after months away, and the TVs wouldn't work. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? When I go back to Notre Dame, to my house at Notre Dame, it works. Everything works. I walk into this house a couple of years ago, and the TVs wouldn't work. What, do they get tired because they're not turned on? Do they have to be turned on every now and then so the power runs through them? I'm trying to figure it out. It's like space. It's like trying to define space. I can't do it.
Like space.
I can't do it. I don't know what's happening here. I don't know why. Why? I pay my cable bill. I walk into this house. I hit the on switch, and the TV won't come on. Why the hell should that happen? I pay for my internet, and the internet won't go on. What the hell's going on? I feel I'm justified in all this.
The worst part, too, is when you get on the phone, you get an actual person, and they say very calmly, I'm sorry you're experiencing that. Let's see what we can do. And it's like, I just waited 25 minutes to get to you. Like, and you're not going to do anything.
You know what else is worse? You go to the automated people. You give them all the information.
Yeah.
To finally get to a human, you get to a human, and then they say, I need some information.
Yeah.
I said, I just gave you guys information. What the hell did you do with that? You wonder why you get ticked off.
Mm-hmm. Claudia's right, though. We need a series of operators that are trained to match the energy of the person calling. Hey, if I'm ticked off, I need you to be ticked off with me. I need us both to be. Yeah. You should be allowed, if you're one of the people dealing with customers, to cuss out your own company. It's like, man, I'm sorry. Yeah, these people are trash. I don't even like working here. This stuff is junk. Screw it. You know what? We're going to get back at them for you. I need you to be on my side for a little bit when you're sitting in the customer service chair. And I think a lot of these companies would be better for that. So, again, we got ideas around here. They're proprietary. So if you steal these, Cox or any of these companies here, we will get litigious. But we are available for a very, very hefty fee, which includes getting my father working internet. So we're going to try and take advantage of the fact that Dad right now seems to be with us for the time being here and have a little fun, because another incredibly frustrating exercise that we all just went through collectively as a nation yesterday was tax stuff. Hell on earth. Going through this entire incredibly insane and big amorphous process where we're not told how much that we owe and we got to figure it out with somebody whose job it is. It all feels like cottage industries made up to employ a bunch of CPAs and the people that run TurboTax. But that's a story for another day. We had tax day that came out, and everyone, my only wish for you is that you don't get audited. That's all I want for you. I don't want anyone to have to deal with that. But around here, we decided, Claudia, we wanted to take some time and audit a few takes that we saw out there in the world of sports, especially around the NFL. So we're going to go in and do the ugly job that I hope happens to no one else.
Biggest scam of all time. Taxes, I will give you that. But yes, we have some NFL headlines. I'll give you guys a story, and you tell me if it's fraud or for real. So first up, we're going to start with Tom Brady, who keeps giving us some good sound from a podcast where he's sitting down getting a haircut. I don't know. You got to do interesting stuff, I guess, to stay relevant. He was asked who is the next quarterback to win his first Super Bowl. Who is it, Tommy?
I like Josh Allen a lot. I think he's I'd pick Josh.
Josh?
Yeah. I like Josh a lot as a guy, as a leader. But, you know, he's got to get past the Chiefs, and that's hard because Patrick's incredible in the way he leads that team.
Yeah.
Bills fifth in the odds right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook to win the Super Bowl at 12-1, tied with the Lions. So, Gojo, fraud or for real on this one?
I'm going to go fraud on this one just because of the juncture. Like, I think Josh Allen can and will win a Super Bowl at some point. I think where their roster's at and where the Chiefs are at right now going to make it difficult to lift that lid at this point. And it's interesting to consider how many quality quarterbacks we have in the league right now, Dad, that still haven't won that first Super Bowl. If you were going to ask me to offer one and say, eat this, not at that, in terms of Josh Allen winning a Super Bowl, if not him, then who? Like, playing the odds here, Brock Purdy probably is the name that comes to mind. This 49ers team once again looks like they're going to be the class of the NFC. And in that final year of his deal where, yeah, even when he gets paid, I think they're still going to be a really competitive outfit. I think he's got a really good shot just in this next coming year if San Francisco can finally get over the hump.
I fraud this. And I, Mike, I would probably take Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, CJ Stroud over the Bills, because this is more about the team. We're talking about the quarterback. I get it. But this is about the team. I think their window is closing a bit there. They got rid of a lot of the veterans. They're trying to reshuffle a little bit. Let's see how they come out. But I'd put a number of teams ahead of them, which means a number of quarterbacks ahead of Josh Allen to win the next Super Bowl. So that, to me, this is absolutely fraud.
I think in the AFC, I'm with you. I would absolutely, like, Lamar Jackson was the first name that popped into mind, but I think understanding, hey, the AFC is so difficult because Kansas City lives here and they're the dynasty right now, but I would probably put Lamar Jackson for the reasons that you mentioned right now. Overall, it seems like, well, Baltimore is going to deal with some losses of their own. I think the brain drain on that roster in terms of their coaching staff that just got a lot of big names plucked off of that, defensively, some of the guys they lost there as well, their offensive line's going to look entirely different. They're not without question and concern. But the level of football that Lamar Jackson played last year, him and Josh Allen were both stellar, but I think the Ravens organizationally have shown, hey, we've already had to change some stuff around Lamar Jackson. We've already made moves, and they've worked out bringing Todd Monken in there, reorganizing some in the passing attack. Zay Flowers there alongside that tight end room that had been great. And so I think if you're going to structure it even in the AFC, I would put Lamar before Josh Allen at this point in time. So we're both going fraud on that one, Claudia. What do we got to audit next?
Breaking news. In parentheses, Niners wideout Brandon Ayuk requested a trade. This is according to an NFL insider on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it. But then his agent quote tweeted and said, you need to find better sources. This comes after Ayuk, who is entering the final season of his contract, did generate buzz on following the Niners on Instagram. Senior, I know you love to talk about social media, so with that in the fold, yeah. Although his agent did sort of put this down with the quote tweet, fraud or for real on this one?
Man, I think this will end up being fraud. I think this is just a leverage move by Ayuk. When you start scrubbing your social media, you know, of your team to show that, hey, I'm serious about this, when this is what everybody does. San Francisco's getting into an interesting situation with a lot of talented players, and now they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy at some point as well. We always talk about the rookie wage scale for those rookie quarterbacks, I should say. When you're on that rookie contract, eventually you have to pay them. And Ayuk deserves the money. Does he deserve the money Devontae Smith just got? I mean, the last 2 years, this guy's had over 1,000 yards, over 1,300 yards, 15 touchdowns, averaging about, in the last 2 years, 14, 15 yards a catch. I mean, it's just, there's just so much talent on that offensive side of the ball with Debo and Kittle and Christian McCaffrey that he's one of them. So at some point, you probably can't pay them all, which is a shame because you have an open window now. We just talked about San Francisco with the ability and the team to be able to win the Super Bowl, and that's not even getting to the defensive side of the ball of paying players. So I still think, Mike, this is fraud. I still think they can end up paying him. You can still get away with it. You didn't have to pay Brock Purdy just yet, so I still think he'll be in San Francisco.
I would probably agree, and I think the sticking point, because you mentioned the numbers with him and Devontae Smith, pretty similar over the last couple of years. Like Brandon Ayuk, 15 touchdowns over the last 2 years. Devontae Smith, 14 touchdowns over the last 2 years. Both over 1,000 yards each of the last two seasons. Both up over 70 catches. A little bit more volume for Devonta Smith. So in an offense that gets you so many yards after the catch, Ayuk been able to do a little bit more on a yards per catch basis. But I think very similar profiles for this team. And Devonta Smith's contract made him the fourth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. So it didn't reset the market there much the same way. I don't think right. Brandon Ayuk is by any means a reset the market kind of player.
No.
He might get a little bit more because he's next, but I think he's right in that wheelhouse in terms of these two as players, where if you made me pick one, I'd probably give slight edge to Brandon Ayuk. Big, physical, affords you a lot and has come a long way as a blocker in that offense that asks a lot of it in the Shanahan McVay schemes, but I don't think it's by any means a leaps and bounds better than situation.
Yeah, one thing I like about both of them, they've both been pretty durable. as far as games they've played, right? Mm-hmm. Playing all the games or maybe missing just one. And that was a question about Devonta Smith coming into the league because he was very slight. Would he be able to handle the rigors of getting knocked around? And he's done it very well. You know, he's been productive while being the best ability is availability, and he's been out there. So he got paid, and I think Ayuk will get paid.
Absolutely. All right, so we're both in on that one. Claudia, what do we got up next?
This one, I'm just going to let you know, I'm saying it's for real because I agree with Joe Burrow, who says, let there be taunting. He said this on Jason Travis Kelce's New Heights podcast. He said, quote, yeah, I'm pro taunting. We're all grown adults that work really hard at what we do. And sometimes we'd like to show it. I'm not going to get my feelings hurt if somebody sacks me and taunts me like, yeah, you made a play. I get it. Good for you. Like I said, I am the fan, so I totally agree with this. You guys actually played the game, though. Senior, is this fraud or for real? Do you agree?
I think for Burrow, it's for real, and I don't have a problem with it at all. They won't do it because of how it looks to the younger kids. That's why they're not going to do it. You know, they feel the pro sports feel there's a responsibility to the kids coming up that will be the next generation of players, or to even those that aren't and will maybe only play little league football or up through high school. And they don't want to send that message because that's what kids do. They emulate the pros. They emulate the stars. And if you see a star finger wagging or standing over a guy and, you know, posing and taunting, they're going to do it. You know, and to me, that's up to the coach. That's up to the coach and the parents to not have the kids do it. I don't fully believe in, man, don't do it if you're in the pros because then the kids will do it. Well, you know what? There are kids out there that have people that oversee them that can make sure they don't do it and coach that into them or parent that into them that you're going to sit if you do something like that. There could be different rules in the pros and in Little League up to high school. So I Joe Burrow's right, man. It's a lot of work to get where you are. It's a lot of work to be successful at that level. You know, these are grown men out there. You know, let them finger wag a little bit. I don't care at all about that stuff.
Yeah, you know what? It's so weird, like how my mind kind of starts to think about these differently a little bit now. Like, I'm not old by any means, but sitting here in my mid-30s watching my friends raise kids and seeing videos of kids that now very much do emulate what they see on these top levels here. Like, you've seen videos of fifth grade basketball leagues where the kids are all in the shooting sleeves and giving everyone the too small here. And I don't know the kind of psychological effect that sort of stuff has on kids at that young age, if you've got kids getting bullied like that on court or not. Because, Dad, in general, when it comes to the grown folks, I'm with you on this. Like, you're going out there, and especially in football, you're writing a check that your ass has to cash. Like, if you want to go out there and talk smack to somebody, guess what? They get a chance to legally assault you the next play. So if you're comfortable in doing that, by all means, get after it. And if you're good at it, I was always jealous because I couldn't talk smack very well. I was never very good at it. Yeah. It is somewhat of an art form. So that much I will definitely say I am all in on there. The one thing I do want to say, too, is the source of this. Joe Burrow joined Travis and Jason at their New Heights podcast back at Cincinnati where they did the Lumbaby games, and it was this awesome thing. I can't believe some of you idiots out there were getting up in arms because they did they made fun of the fact that Jason and Travis Kelce never came to pick up their diplomas for graduation, and people thought that Travis Kelce was actually chugging a beer at graduation, making a mockery of this sacred process. Are you more? It's April. Who's graduating in April, in early April right now, at a podcast taping? It's unbelievable, the dumb stuff. I feel like Dad right now, where I'm triggered by something simple on the internet here, but good Lord, the fact that Jason Kelce had to come out and actually feel compelled to respond to this was insane.
Don't you hate that you're starting to do things that I do? You mock me, and then all of a sudden you sound like me, and you're doing things that I did. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to my world, Sonny. Welcome to my world.
Midway through that rant, I just realized, oh my God, this is Dad's rant. This is what he's supposed to do on here. And now yep. Here I am, having a real reckoning inside myself.
You're not alone, Gojo. That was ridiculous. But people love to complain.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Really, but that's what people do. And like I said, you go to that showboating thing, and you're in a little league, and some kid showboats, sit him down. You just tell him. Listen, any of you do it, guys, showboat at all, you're sitting the bench. You're sitting down. I mean, you're allowed to do that. There can be differences in pros and little league. So, yeah, I don't. I'm like you said, Mike, you know, you got to cash the check. So if you're writing it, you got to cash it. So at that level, go ahead. Doesn't care. Doesn't bug me one bit.
Yeah, I've always been pro taunting. Like I really have been. I think it's another one of those areas where the personality gets to come out. And it's an incredibly intense sport. We talk all the time. People excuse away quotes after the game or actions by saying, well, what do you expect? You play out this gladiator sport and then you're supposed to go have a normal conversation in the post-game interview and stuff like that. I can actually draw more of a line in the sand on that because you're used to the ebbs and flow there. In the middle of a game that's hotly contested, if you want to get up and let somebody know, like when they do this in the NBA after guys get up over dunks and taunt somebody, who in their right mind that is physically capable of dunking wouldn't want to stare down the person they just put on a poster right after that? It's un-American, and we shouldn't be asking people to do that. All right, guys, let's talk about Jägermeister. They could have written a totally normal ad here, like a really classic ad. They could have talked about their history, the 56 botanicals. It could have been all salesy and cutesy, but they know you don't care. Jägermeister doesn't want to be like all those other ads you've seen and heard. They just wanted to say two things. Jägermeister is great, but everyone has been drinking it wrong. Damn, that's cold.
Drinking it wrong? All right, if that's the case, how should we be drinking it?
They are so glad you asked, and so am I, Dad. I'm here to help you. Ice cold is the answer, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it. That's all they want to tell you. So, wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends or at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
Less than 24 hours after Scottie Scheffler got his green jacket, he went to a bar. That's another part of the story, which we'll get to. But the more important part here is that Liv took over the headlines because Rory McIlroy, who has been against Liv, is now in rumors to possibly join them. This is according to City AM, which is an English outlet focused on business and finance. According to the report, two separate sources informed the paper that a deal is close. So this could be coming soon. An estimated $850 million. He would also receive a 2% investment stake, and they got a lot of money, so that's a lot of money in the company. Senior, this is shocking to me. What would this mean for McIlroy and the PGA Tour?
I don't know what to believe in this one, Mike, because why I'm trying to think they're supposedly going after Victor Hovland as well. Why would they still be trying to sign players when there's going to be an agreement between the two factions? That's what I didn't understand. And for Rory, listen, the optics are horrible for him because of how vehemently he was against players that went to Liv until there was that moment when they decided, hey, PGA and Liv are gonna somehow combine, and everything kind of softened at that point. But this, boy, this would be the ultimate. I mean, this would be I think, Mike, there were a bunch of PGA players, once they talked about there being agreement, a bunch of PGA players were like, well, wait a minute. Nothing's going to happen to these guys that went to Liv and they got all this money? So, okay, maybe we'll just take the money. You know, if nobody has any hard feelings anymore, if the two factions are going to get together and they're still offering money out there, I'll just take the money. $850 million. I mean, that's tough to turn down given where the stance is now on both sides, where they're basically trying to work together. That would be stunning, but horrible optics for him, right?
Well, I mean, we've seen him be a lot softer on Liv in recent months, yeah, in the way that he's talked about it, right? Where he said, I think the most recent one was, I think what Liv has done is it's exposed the flaws in the system of what golf has. We're all supposed to be independent contractors and we can pick and choose what tournaments we want to play. But I think what Liv and the Saudis have exposed is that if you're asking for millions of dollars to sponsor these events and you're not able to guarantee to those sponsors the players are going to show up, then you've got an issue. So basically, he got beaten down over time, Dad, and I think you couple that with the fact that, hey, if he's not going to be out here winning majors at the clip that he was in the early aughts, then all of a sudden it becomes kind of what I think pushed Brooks Koepka out, which is, all right, I might as well at least get paid if I'm going to deal with all this pressure right now and if everybody else is doing it. And, Dad, to your original question, the fact that they're still signing, even though we thought that this was supposed to be a partnership that was going to bridge, it seems like that's been taking quite a while. I know Tiger got asked about the conversations that they've been having with them at the Masters as well, but I'm sure they're all looking around and going, all right, this was supposed to be done. There means every passing day that we get further from that, that becomes a more difficult road to toe. And so in the meantime, there's money out there and they're like, all right, if this is going to be the way of the world, then I'm at least going to be rich for my wares and all this. And Rory would be like, I'm not going to lie, Dad. When we got done with the Masters, the first thing I thought was, how soon will they come for blank? How soon will they try and come again for a guy like Scottie Scheffler? It sounds like Victor Hovland's going to be the one there. But after every major tournament, I'm just assuming that Liv is going to keep trying to undercut the PGA in the midst of this negotiation by saying, oh, you like the product that you saw this weekend. It would be a real shame if no one saw it until the next major because we just kept offering these people more money than God.
And I know from what we understand in the supposed deal, the PGA side of it, because the PGA players were now, well, wait a minute, now we're going to merge with Liv. The Liv guys who left got all this money. We got nothing. As Rory said, we were sacrificial lambs, or he felt like a sacrificial lamb. And they were trying to figure out ways to pay, get some extra money to the PGA guys to make up for it a little bit. But I don't know where any of that is. And I'm trying to figure out the game plan of Liv by continuing to sign these players. I mean, nobody watches it, right? Are they thinking that somebody's going to watch it now?
No, I absolutely do not think that.
No, I don't either.
Their game plan is weaken your enemy. They've got an unlimited supply of money from the black gold in the ground over there. And so they're looking at this and saying, hey, you know what the easiest way to get what we want is, which is power. They don't want eyes. They want power. They want control over large sports bodies that they don't actually have to be the face of, because then that gives them sway in the way that they're perceived as a country and as a ruling body over there by sports washing their reputation. It's the conversation we've had since day one here. But the way they get what they want now with the PGA is by weakening their enemy. They can't go out here and make Liv stronger, because you're right, no one's going to watch. But what they can do is use their limitless supply of money to just weaken the PGA product that we already heard golfers talking about, right? They're all worried about people not watching. They're all worried about fans not caring outside of some of these big major events where we get to see everybody again. And if that consternation is building there, it's got to be grounded in something. And so I'm sure the people in charge of Liv and the PIF want to keep feeding that by just picking off these guys one after another.
So are they trying to get more leverage in this deal with the PGA by saying, hey, we have all your big stars, you know, and if we're trying to merge it back together, I'm trying to figure it out. I mean, it just looks bad because of how much Rory was against it. But there's going to be a lot of people that are like, yeah, I don't blame you. $850 million, that's just, you just hit the lotto. Now these guys, Rory is not hurting for money, but so what? You know what? $850 million. You just got, you know, all five or six numbers and the Powerball on that one.
Exactly. So I think that's kind of it from the play. It's interesting to consider from the overall versus the player side of it, because in the midst of it for the players, you're right. It's, hey, while this is all getting sorted out in the meantime, now that we've destigmatized most of this, I'm just going to go ahead and take my payday. The guys like Phil Mickelson that came through the wall first on this were the ones that had to absorb all the bad PR, all the bad press. I mean, look, John Rahm after the Masters last year won the Masters, and it's why I was so interested last seed how this is going to go this year, because John Rahm won the Masters last year and then immediately went and took the Liv money. And we saw there was some public conversation about it, but it's a lot less severe than it used to be, Dad. So I think the penalty's gone away for that now.
How creepy must it have been? They said Greg Norman, who's, you know, what, the president of Liv or whatever is, you know, his title is there, was following Rory around the first round. How creepy did that have to be? right? Rory was like, oh, I didn't see him. I have no idea. But supposedly, Greg was following Rory in his first round, you know, maybe whispering in his ear, hey, 850 mil, man, 850 mil. You're not winning this anyway, so come grab the money.
Following him around like a shady college booster back in the day, just trying to deal out $100 handshakes to see. It's like, hey, like, we really appreciate what you're doing for State U out there, son. Just keep it up.
Gojo? Can you guys hear me? No? So we lost the guys. I do want to get to this, though, because I mentioned it off the top. So Scottie Scheffler was getting a lot of heat because, of course, after the press, after he got the green jacket, he basically said, you know, I want to answer your questions, but I also have to get home to my pregnant wife. And then we got these pictures online. Scheffler celebrated the hashtag Masters win at a local dive bar in Dallas. And the best part of this picture is the guy next to him, this long bearded man in the backwards cap, is looking at the green jacket like it's the best thing he's ever seen. So lots of drama surrounding this. I think Scheffler can get all the credit in the world. The man can do what he wants. If the baby has not been born yet, then let the man do what he wants to do. Of course, we'll keep you updated on all the Rory and Liv and PGA drama. The guys are gone. The internet is winning today. The humans remain undefeated. The world takeover is coming. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
It's Kentucky Derby time. Are you ready for the greatest 2 minutes in sports? Saddle up with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Download DK Horse now to join the Run for the Roses action. New customers can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with code GOLIC. Only on the DK Horse app. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states, to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at dkhorse.com. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
We're back here on Gojo and Golic, and the NFL draft already is next week. But some of the biggest names we have been discussing won't be there. There's 16 players who were invited. Only 13 players will attend. You do the math. That means the three who declined, Notre Dame tackle Joe Alt, Georgia tight end Brock Bowers, and Michigan QB JJ McCarthy, who recently shot up the boards. The league wants to be sure the players who are picked will go in round one and not linger into the second round, which we saw with Titans quarterback Will Levis last year. Gojo, two things here. What do you think the thought process is for these three guys? And should the list be this short or maybe even shorter?
I think outside of, I think Darius Robinson on that list, the defensive end out of Missouri, is probably the only one I have questions about going in the first round in a draft ad where we've had so many offensive players as the stars of the show here. The rest of those guys I can understand. I mean, for Brock, Joe, like maybe you just want to go spend it with your family. Being at the draft environment isn't for everyone. While it's become this awesome barnstorming event for the league and it's become an event that they can point to and sell to every year, for some of these guys, I'm sure they wouldn't want to be bothered with it. This seems particularly offensive line for a position whose lineage includes Joe Thomas going fishing on draft day before he was taken in the top three. So I can understand that.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. I mean, you had players that have skipped in the past famously, like we talk about Joe Thomas, who was fishing with his, when fishing, he was the number three pick overall. Others have skipped it to be with their families. Joe Alt, that doesn't surprise me with any of the guys in this, and they're all going to be first rounders, Brock Bowers and McCarthy and Alt. So, we talked about this the other day. Would you go to New York? Would you be one of those guys? It's got to be a pretty heady thing to be invited, especially if you know you're going to be one of the top picks, to go there and kind of live that moment and bring your family with you. I think it would be a pretty cool thing. But I agree with you. I think Darius Robinson's the only one that, you know, may have an interesting day ahead of him on where he's going to go. But I listen, it's a player's choice. They want to hang out at home. I'm sure I would imagine they would let cameras into their house. You know, if they're not going to be at the draft, hey, can a camera be at your house? You would think that's going to happen. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah, it's never really mattered to me. Like, it's cool when you get the moment. And some guys have talked about wanting to walk across the stage and see the commissioner. But I think for a lot of Brock Bowers is the only somewhat interesting one, Dad, just because it's so weird. In the last month, I feel like we've watched what before was viewed as this unimpeachable prospect who was talked about in the same range as maybe a Marvin Harrison Jr., of a guy who was can't miss, a guy coming out of college who was such a productive player that everyone's going to go head over heels when he gets to the NFL. And now it's given way to all these conversations about, well, look at tight end positional value, how much money you're saving on drafting a tight end in the first round versus just franchise tagging a veteran player later on, and how even you use Brock Bowers, considering he's not the big and imposing physical standard you would normally see for a tight end that was going to do both, being a blocker and a pass catcher. So have you been surprised the way that he's been talked about? Because I know I have been a little bit.
Yes. And go ahead and people go ahead and question him. I'll take him on my team any day, right? I mean, the normal position of tight end, that's changed over the years anyway. What you're looking at now is you're looking for mismatches, right? When we talk about a back, you know, splitting out, whether it's in the slot or as a wide receiver, who's covering him. Same thing with Brock. He's not that big, huge tight end, but when he splits out or lines up like a wide receiver, who's covering him? You know, what kind of matchup do you have? You know, go ahead, put a linebacker on him. See how that works. You know, so who is going to cover him? So I've heard it, and I am surprised. I think this kid is going to be fantastic at the next level.
Yeah, I think for me with Brock Bowers, and myself in general with tight ends always, and I know Andy Reid's talked about this, is like, I don't need you to be a devastating blocker. It'd be sick if everyone was George Kittle and loved it and was frothing at the mouth and was basically technically like an offensive lineman. That'd be awesome. But that's not the case. I need you to be good enough to justify the ways that we're going to use you elsewhere. And that's the sell with Brock Bowers, is you can put the guy anywhere. Like, you can put him all over the field. He can do a variety of things and did in that Georgia offense for so long, and he can be effective. And that also means you can hide him as a blocker in those certain spots here. He's great on the perimeter blocking like a wide receiver. You can put him in that sniffer spot in the backfield, and he's going to go and be able to wall guys off because he cares about it and because he's technically proficient enough. He's just a little on the small side. But I do understand, yep. Dad, like, especially the way the draft board shakes out this year, I wouldn't take him in the top 10. I don't really think there's any team based on their needs that can afford to take him in the top 10 and feel good about it. But as you get into the teens, I absolutely think that's prime range for him once you get down to that area. I wouldn't see him certainly getting below like a team like at Seattle at 16. If he were to fall down there, you sprint towards the podium and hand in that card.
That's possible with the Jets at 10. Though, right? I mean, that's been some of the mock drafts, having him at the 10 slot. I could see that, because that is a tough position to on where it's going to go, where you could be. As we said, he was one of the best prospects we thought, but wasn't going to be, you know, a top five pick. But I could see him going to the Jets at 10. They're loading up on weapons. We know what they've brought in, and we know what they're trying to do, obviously, with Aaron Monta. They've already helped the old line in the offseason. I think that would be a monster grab for them.
It's just going to be whether or not I think they feel like they need to load up on O-line even more, what the wide receiver group looks like there as they continue to try and put weapons around Aaron Rodgers, all those things that I think could weigh into all of this. But I think that's probably where the conversation around him starts, though, is at that point. Again, I can understand the financials of it, saying it's better to take a risk on some other positions at that point. There was also, Dad, the story on ESPN.com by Elizabeth Merrill the other day that actually went into and looked. We talked so much at the top of the draft about the Eli Manning, John Elway, hey, use your leverage to dictate your position in the draft, after we heard Deion Sanders come out and say this about his son Shador and Travis Hunter, the star wide receiver cornerback on their team. We'd had the conversation around Caleb this year about why more teams don't do that, and I thought it was interesting as much as anything. They pointed to modern NFL agent structures, where you've got so many of these big box agencies that represent so many players and have so many relationships around the league, that they're much less inclined to want to rock the boat with a prospect than maybe someone in years past, especially with the rookie wage scale, where it's only going to financially net you so much early on here.
Yeah, I agree that the rookie wage scale, I think, has possibly taken a lot out of this. We'll see. I mean, and I know he, Deion mentioned Shador and Travis Hunter and his son, who's the DB as well. The only one that has a shot to do anything like that is Shador, because Shador, the way he's going right now, it's going to be basically what him and Quinn Ewers and the kid, what, Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, probably as the top prospects coming
in. Of the known names that we know before certain guys inevitably make their rise and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a
right.
It's so, certainly a class with lesser star power in the names going into the season than this class was.
And listen, if you want to try and pull the leverage card, listen, go ahead. If it works for you, great. But, you know, just know it may not. I know a lot of people are don't like the Deion's brashness about it. You know, I know the teams. I'm talking to the teams. There's five teams that my guys are going to go to. A lot of people are turned off by that talk. But so what? Doesn't affect me. Doesn't affect you. If he wants to try and swing that and get his guys to warm weather teams that he was talking about, go ahead, give it a shot. But just know it may not work. You know, it may not work, and you may just have to go where you're drafted. But I'm not going to blame somebody for trying. We've seen it work in the past. It's not the prettiest thing in the world. I know most people are like, oh, you're getting drafted to play in the NFL. Just be happy with that and all that, well, which is fine, which is true for 99% of the people. But there are those that figure, you know what, I got enough leverage where I can try and get where I want to go.
Well, and that's just the thing, though, is you have to be that good of a player. Like John Elway, legendary, generational prospect.
Yes.
Eli Manning, consensus number one overall pick. All these things that have to work in your favor that we don't yet know for Shador in here. I thought the best point Deion did make, though, and this is the difference of, hey, when it comes from the player side, you got a face for this. It's the player. It's Deion Sanders. As he pointed out, teams manipulate the draft all the time. All these leaked reports about players' Wonderlic scores and all the different things about their meetings.
Right.
Where do you think that comes from? Teams trying to get this at a bargain. Teams trying to get guys to drop to where they're at in here. It is absolutely teams trying to manipulate this process in their favor. And because it's done anonymously and it's anonymous source or GM or throughout this process, no one's actually got an answer for that in a meaningful way versus when it's the player trying to figure it out. You know right where to go with your complaints. And like Dad said, you can lob those greedy labels their way in a heartbeat. All right, time to finish off the show the way we always do. This, that, the third, three quick stories to send you into the rest of the day. As always, download, subscribe, rate, review us, leave us a five-star rating, and try and check us out live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. If you can't do that, you can catch the best of Gojo and Golic from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern wherever you hear VSiN on the radio. And if you can't catch that or any of our great guests, thanks to Charlotte Wilder from Oddball for joining us for hour number one of the show. You can hear that wherever you get your podcasts or available right here on YouTube after we get done. Guys, let's talk about this. We talked about the Eagles a bunch today with Devonta Smith getting the nice contract there. Jordan Mailata also got paid this offseason and appeared to want to celebrate in his own special way by using the golden voice that the 6'8 monster man happens to have. We've heard him sing on the Eagles offensive line Christmas album that him and Jason Kelce and the rest of the dudes put out. But Jordan Mailata went to Newtown's Green Parrot Bar and joined the band Emo or Code Emo on stage to cover Valerie by Amy Winehouse. And do we have a clip of this? It's incredible.
So good.
One time for Jordan Mailata, wow, continuing to have a golden voice, an absolutely illustrious set of pipes for a man that's also that good at moving people from point A to point B against their will. But also just shout out to Valerie for being a bop. Probably doesn't get talked about nearly enough for being an absolute banger.
So good.
I have always said that athletes want to be entertainers. Entertainers want to be athletes. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to sing some in certain situations, and I enjoy doing it. I think I have a voice that won't make people run for the hills. It's just decent enough to not make people leave. This dude's at another level. I mean, he's unbelievable. He could be in that business. He could leave football and go in that business. I mean, it is incredible. I love seeing those hidden talents, which hasn't been hidden so much anymore with him because A, he's 6'8", and B, they've put out a couple of Christmas albums. But that is so cool to watch and see him enjoy that so much.
Senior, you can't just slip that through here. Do you have a voice, Gojo? Is he hiding something?
No, what he's trying to play coy about is, so Darius Rucker is someone that Dad got to know, and we've gotten to know pretty well for a while here, is an awesome friend. And at one point, he's also a big South Carolina fan. And years ago, Dad and Darius made a bet on South Carolina and Notre Dame women's hoops game at the time where if South Carolina had won, Darius would have gotten to come in and host all 4 hours of Mike and Mike one day and talk about whatever he wants, program it the way he wants. And when Notre Dame eventually won, Dad won a chance to go sing whatever song he wanted on stage at Darius's concert, I believe, in Indianapolis, in Indiana. And he sang Take It Easy by the Eagles out on the stage and actually did really well. Like, he went out further past the speakers than he was supposed to, and a whole band was worried about him. Dad, they're asking you what key you wanted to sing in. You had no freaking idea.
That was so much fun. It was wild because, yeah, Darius said you can sing any song you want, but none of mine. He didn't want me to sing any of his songs. I'm like, well, that hurts.
Does so, yeah, Chris I did have take, videos?
I did take
I need
it
videos
easy.
Of this.
It's on YouTube somewhere. And then in backstage before the concert, I'm trying to find that happy place of drinking, of not getting too drunk, but being, you know, just lightly buzzed enough to not worry about embarrassing myself. When one of the guys in the band, John Mason, who plays the bass, comes over and said, "Are you singing this in G?" I'm like, "What the hell are you talking about, singing this in G?" I said, "I hear the song on the radio. I'm singing it just like that. That's what I'm doing." And that's what I did. And they did. They told me, where you stand, don't walk past the speakers because you'll get a little bit of reverb. So, of course, I got into it. I started thinking I was the coolest, you know, thing in the world. And I walked all the way out there and just was singing my ass off. It was so much fun. I'm not going to lie. I had a ball doing that. Darius, by the way, did have to sing the Notre Dame fight song up there, which we enjoyed that as well.
That is so cool,
man. There
we
go. Yeah, a bet where everyone won there. Speaking of someone's ass flying off, Claudia, let's get to that. Someone pooped their pants at the marathon yesterday.
The transitions are golden. Yes, Davis Clark is a Boston TikToker. He works in the financial district, and he's always posting TikToks about locking in, being great, all that. Well, he posted a video yesterday of him running the Boston Marathon. He does a quick pan down. I think we have a video. I don't know if you want to see it, but
I gave it out to you, everything I have for the people. 256, I pants like crazy. I'm going after it all day, every day for the people. 2 hours, 56 minutes, man, people.
He did it for the people, okay? And if you can't see the video, there is poop down his legs, but it's just the mindset to be like, he said, my pants like crazy, but I did it for the people.
I don't know him. Does he have people? Is he a famous TikToker? Does he have these people?
Yes, people love
him
on TikTok.
So I also wonder now, as I said, your mother ran one marathon in her life, and this did not happen to her. She ran it incredibly well. I wonder how much this does happen, though. I have no idea. You got 50,000 people running the New York Marathon, 30,000 running the Boston, 40,000 running the Chicago Marathon. I gotta believe that happens more than we think. This dude just in this day and age just wanted to tape it for everybody.
Yeah.
So that what a horrible feeling. Now, Mike, you and I both have experienced this on the field. At times, more pee than poo, but, you know, still happens.
Oh, listen, I've peed my pants on the field, and I've pooped my pants as an adult. Like, yeah. I'm not ashamed to admit that. Like, you know, things happen sometimes.
Yeah.
But this is like my niece, like Alex, Sydney's daughter. It's unbelievable watching her just blow out her onesies here. The chocolate shotgun situation that's going on with her and with this guy. I mean, this is an insane amount of poop to have running down your legs in any social situation, but then to have to be active through that. That's the thing with marathons with me, not to change the subject too much. This, the nipple bleeding that goes on, what part of this seems worth it?
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you guys agree with that? Going and past these, you guys both had poop games. Like, I need to hear about that. But okay, senior, go ahead.
No, I didn't have a poop game. It's pee games. I pooped my pants as an adult. That's just not trusting a fart.
Yeah, I pooped my pants as an adult. You know, it's one of those where you have to go to the bathroom and you have to go try and get to the bathroom slowly, because if you start to run, your butt knows that and it says, no, 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 we're not going to let you make it. But as far as peeing your pants, what we used to do is you take a towel on the sideline and you stuff it down your pants and you pee into the towel. That way you don't get it on your pants. Mike obviously didn't follow those lines because Mike peed his pants. You could see the pee mark on his pants.
Yeah, if you guys want to go Google Mike Golic Jr. senior day photo, you can do that on your own time here. Yeah. Instead, we're going to get to the third and another setting where people might pee their pants. Claudia, the Ole Miss spring game remixed things a little bit this year.
Yes, they did. Tradition out the window. They brought in 7-on-7 drills, a dunk contest, an obstacle course, hot dog eating contest. Joey Chestnut made an appearance. It was a series that Lane Kiffin dubbed Grove Bowl Game, centered around, of course, fan entertainment. Because there's really anything, dunk contest, anything but football. I don't know. This is very strange to me, senior. It's the opposite of old school. Well, do you like this? Do you not like this?
Yeah. Well, they had a number of injuries in the spring. And, you know, at some point you're like, we're not going to put our guys in a position to get hurt anymore. Or you just don't have enough. So I think this is great. You know, the spring game. I mean, you're getting all the spring practices. So it's kind of like... it's kind of like the Senior Bowl. The practices are more important than the Senior Bowl game itself, the Senior Bowl practices. And I think that about spring football. The practices are more important than the actual spring game itself. So I think this is cool. Do I think it'll catch on? No, because this is Lane Kiffin. And, you know, I expect things like that out of Lane Kiffin, but it's not going to become the norm. Like I said, it was kind of in lockstep where they had a decent amount of injuries and just we're looking to not put the pads on.
Yep, it's very Lane Kiffin, but we appreciate the effort from everybody involved. Fun to see Joey Chestnut out there. Not surprised at all that it happened. Good on them there. Good on everyone that stuck with us through this show. If you appreciated somehow, download, subscribe, rate, review. Leave us a 5-star rating. Check us out here Monday through Friday live from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.